Welcome to Thoughts on the Market. I'm Ravi Shankar, Morgan Stanley's North American Freight Transportation and Airlines Analyst.
And I'm Alex Drayton, Morgan Stanley's North America Softlines Retail and Brands Analyst.
On this episode of the podcast, we'll discuss some really surprising parallels between fashion retail and airlines. It's Monday, April 29th at 10 a.m. in New York. Now, you're probably wondering why we're talking about airlines and fashion retail in the same sentence. And that's because even though they may seem worlds apart, they actually have a lot in common. They're both highly cyclical industries driven by consumer spending, inventory pressure, and brand attrition over time. And so we would argue that what applies to one industry actually has relevance to the other industry as well. So Alex, you've been observing some remarkable turnaround stories in your space recently. Can you paint a picture of what some fashion retail businesses have done to engineer a successful turnaround? Maybe go over some of the fundamentals first.
What I'll lead with here is that in my North America apparel retail coverage, turnarounds are incredibly hard to come by, to the point where I'd argue I'm skeptical when any business tries to architect one. And part of that difficulty directly pertains to your question, Ravi, the fundamental backdrop of the industry. So what are we working with here? Apparel is a low single-digit growing category here in North America, where the average retailer operates at a mid-single-digit plus margin level. This is super meager compared to other more profitable industries that Ravi and I don't necessarily have the joy of covering. But part of why my industry is characterized by such low operating performance is the fact that there are incredibly low barriers to entry in the space. And you can really see that in two dynamics, the first being how fragmented the competitive landscape is. That means that there are many players as opposed to consolidation across a select few. Just think of how many options you have out there as you shop for clothing and then how much that has changed over time. And then second, and somewhat due to that fragmentation, the category has historically been deflationary, meaning prices have actually fallen over time as retailers compete mostly on price to garner consumer attention and market share. So put differently, historically, retailers' key tool for drawing in the consumer and driving sales has been based on being price competitive, often through promotions and discounting, which, along with other structural headwinds like declining mall traffic, e-commerce growth, and then rising wages, rent, and product input costs, has actually meant the average retailer's margin was in a steady and unfortunately structural decline prior to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So this reliance on promotions and discounting in tandem with those other pressures I just mentioned not only hurt many retailers' earnings power, but in many cases also degraded consumer brand perception, creating a super tough cycle to break out of, and thus turnarounds very tough to come by, bringing it full circle. So in a nutshell, what you should hear is apparel is a low barrier to entry, fragmented market with subsequently thin margins and little to no precedent for successful turnarounds. That's not to say a retail turnaround isn't possible, though, Ravi.
Got it. So that's great background. And you've identified some very specific key levers that these fashion retail companies can pull in order to boost their profitability. What are some of these levers?
We do have a recent example in the space of a company that was able to break free of that rather vicious cycle I just went through, and it actually lifted its sales growth and profitability levels above industry average. From our standpoint, this super rare retail turnaround relied on five key levers. And the first was targeting a different customer demographic. Think going from a teens-focused customer with limited brand loyalty to an older, wealthier, and less fickle shopper, more reliable, put differently. Mm-hmm. Second, you know, evolving the product assortment. So think mixing the assortment into higher-priced, less seasonal items that come with better margins. To bring this to life, imagine a jeans and tees business widening its offering to include things like tailored pants and dresses that are often higher margin. Third, we saw that changing the pricing strategy was also key. You can retrain or reposition a brand as not only higher price through the two levers I just mentioned, but also try and be less promotional overall. This is arguably, from my experience, one of the hardest things for a retailer to execute over time. So this is the thing I would typically, you know, red flag if you hear it. Fourth, and this is very, very key, reducing the store footprint, reexamining your costs. So as I mentioned in my coverage, cost inflation across the P&L historically, consumers moving online over time. And what it means is retailers are sitting on a cost base that might not necessarily be right for the new demand or the new structure of the business. So finding cost savings on that front can really do wonders for the margins. Fifth, and I list this last because it's a little bit more of a qualitative type of lever is that you can focus on digital. That really matters in this modern era. And what we saw was a retailer use digital-driven data to inform decision-making across the business, aligning consumer experience across channels, and doing this in a profitable way, which is no easy feat, to say the least. So, look, we identified five broad enablers of a turnaround, but there were, of course, little changes along the way that were also done.
Right.
So, Ravi, given what we've discussed, how do you think this turnaround model from fashion retail can apply to airlines?
Look, I mean, as we discussed at the top here, we think there are significant similarities between the world of fashion retail and airlines, even though it may not seem obvious at first glance. I mean, they're both very consumer discretionary type demand environments. The vicious circle that you described, the price deflation, the competition, the brand attrition, all of that applies to retail and to airlines as well. And so I think when you look at the five enablers of the turnaround or the levers that you pull to make it happen, I think those can apply from retail to airlines as well. For instance, you target a different customer, one that likes to travel, one that is a premium customer and wants to sit in the front of the plane and spend more money. Second, you have a different product out there. Kind of you make your product better and it's a better experience in the sky. And you give the customer an opportunity to subscribe to credit cards and the loyalty program and have a full service experience when they travel. Third, you change your distribution method. You kind of go more digital, as you said. We don't have inventory here, so it'd be more of you don't fly everywhere all the time and be everything to everyone. You are a more focused airline and give your customer a better experience. So all of those things can drive better outcomes and better financial performance, both in the world of fashion retail as well as in the world of airlines.
So Ravi, we've definitely identified some pretty startling similarities between fashion retail and airlines, definitely more so than I appreciated when you called me a couple months ago to explore this topic. So with that in mind, what are some of the differences and challenges to applying to airlines a playbook taken from the world of fashion retail?
Right. So look, I mean, they are obviously very different industries, right? For instance, clothing is a basic human staple. Air travel and going on vacations is not. It's a lot more discretionary. The industry is a lot more consolidated in the airline space compared to the world of retail. Air travel is also a lot more premium compared to the entire retail industry. But when you look at premium retail and what some of those brands have done where brands really make a difference, the product really makes a difference, I think there are a lot more similarities than differences between those premium retail brands and the airline industry. So Alex, going back to you, just given the success of the turnaround model that you've discussed, do you think more retail businesses will adopt it? And are there any risks if that becomes a norm?
The reality is, Ravi, I breezed through those five key enablers in a super clear manner. But first, you know, the enablers of a turnaround, in my view, are only super clear in hindsight. And then secondly, one thing I want to just reemphasize again is that a turnaround of the nature I described isn't something that happens overnight. Shifting something like your consumer base or changing investor perception of discounting activity is a multi-year, incredibly difficult task, meaning turnarounds are also often multi-year affairs, if ever successful at all. So looking ahead, given how rare retail turnarounds have proven to be historically, I think while many businesses in my coverage area are super intrigued by some of this recent success, at the same time, I think they're eyes wide open that it's much easier said than done, with execution far from certain in any given turnaround.
Got it. I think the good news from my perspective is that hindsight and time are both the best teachers, especially when put together. And so I think the learnings of some of the success stories in your sector can not only be lessons for other companies in your space, they can also be lessons in my space. And like I said, I think some airlines have already started embarking on this turnaround. Others are looking to see what they can do here. And I'm sure, again, best practices and lessons can be shared from one sector to another. So Alex, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
It was great to speak with you, Ravi.
And thanks for listening. If you enjoy Thoughts on the Market, please leave us a review wherever you listen to the show and share the podcast with a friend or colleague today.
The preceding content is informational only and based on information available when created. It is not an offer or solicitation, nor is it tax or legal advice. It does not consider your financial circumstances and objectives and may not be suitable for you.